What's happening, everybody? This your boy Charles Wells, aka C Wells, the host of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. Coming at you on this 4th of July. Getting really, really close to football season. Got about 2 months to the start of the season. We ready. It's gonna be on and popping, and we ready to get this thing started. Check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/swagtalk, twitter.com/swagtalk76, instagram.com/swagtalk, and swagtalk76@gmail.com is the email address. Also, you can check out the YouTube channel, Swag Talk Show. We do videos on Wednesdays and Sundays. Today, we'll be dropping a video on YouTube covering the topic that we're going to cover today on the podcast, which is Southern University Spring 2021 season. So we have that dropping on Wednesday. We have an edition of Swag Talk Time Machine. Haven't really figured out what game I want to watch yet, but that'll be coming on Wednesday. And then next Sunday, we'll be recapping Texas Southern's Spring 2021 season. So we're going to do that. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll be starting our Fall 2021 season previews, because we're getting, like I said, we're getting increasingly close to the season, so it's going to be time to start to do our previews. So with that being said, when you check out the Facebook, I mean, excuse me, when you check out the YouTube page, if you haven't subscribed already, why don't you go ahead and do so. Subscribe, hit the notification button to be alerted to any content that upload on that page. And just feel free to enjoy all the content that's coming at you from Swag Talk. So we're not going to waste no time on this. We're going to go ahead and get busy and talk about the Jags and how their season went. They came into the season pretty much as the favorite to win the West Division. Obviously, we know that did not happen, but they still had a really good season. They went 5-1 overall, 4-1 in conference. That, well, they did pick up a forfeit victory over Alcorn, so basically they were 4-1 overall and 3-1 in conference. They had a 4-game winning streak on the season. They were 1-1 at home, again a forfeit to Alcorn in that number. 3-0 on the road and 1-0 on neutral sites. They got their season started with a 24-21 victory over Alabama State in a game that I thought Southern had a chance to really take control early, but turnovers Let Alabama State remain in the game. Alabama State had a really good third quarter to take the lead. Southern was able to fight back and get the lead and hold on as Alabama State missed the field goal that would have tied the game. March 6th, they came home for their only home game of the season, and they lost 33-30 to Pine Bluff, who would go on to be the West Division champ. This game was, obviously, this was just like a really weird game. Southern just played some undisciplined football that they don't typically do. Pine Bluff was able to come in and take the game to a level that Southern really wasn't gonna be able to comparably play it, and they just got beat. You know, they Skelton, the quarterback, had a horrible unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. He gets benched. Lampley comes in. He hasn't played football in like 2 years. So you have a backup quarterback on the field who hasn't played well. And Pine Bluff took advantage of that, built a nice lead in the third quarter, and Southern fought back to get into it. Had a chance to drive down the field to either score a tying score or a winning score, and threw a very, very, very horrible interception. And that sealed their fate in that game. It made them play catch-up for the rest of the season, but the March 20th game against Texas Southern was a game that a lot of people started to feel like this season could go either way. You know, coming off of that loss to Pine Bluff, and really at that point, probably knowing that your chances of going to the SWAC championship are dwindling. Playing against a Texas Southern team who had a close game against Prairie View in their first outing. On the road, you know, there's uncertainty at quarterback. It's a lot of things not going great. Defense hasn't really played very well. Offense was struggling, with turnovers. And they found a way to win that game. And that's saying that, you know, that's kind of being kind of crazy to say a 51-23 victory is finding a way to win. But Texas Southern jumped out on Texas Southern early. And every time Texas Southern scored in the game period, Southern responded immediately with touchdowns. So they really took control of that game late in the second half, late in the first half. They returned. Texas Southern had made the score 16-14, and Southern ran back the kickoff, the ensuing kickoff for a touchdown, and went to the half up 23-14. They would score two touchdowns coming out of halftime, so to put the game away. The running game was really good. The passing game was efficient, and that's the kind of offensive game that Southern likes to play. Defensively, they played well. They put Texas Southern in a lot of passing situations. They got pressure on the quarterback. They had a couple interceptions, and they did what they had to do to get that victory. March 27th, they picked up a forfeit victory over Alcorn because they opted out. April 3rd, they went to Jackson to face Jackson State in a game that was played on ESPN. Southern controlled this game, controlled this game from the opening kickoff. And the game never really was that close. You can kind of say Jackson State never really was fully out of it, but Southern had control of the game for the most part, and actually got the ball all the way down to the Jackson State 1 yard line with very little time left in the game. And you know, they could have scored another touchdown to make it go 41-14, but they kind of took a knee at the one to run the game, the clock out, and won 34-14. Running game was tremendous in this game. Defense was really good. Southern had the ball for over 40 minutes of time of possession. Jackson State really didn't have any kind of momentum on either side of the ball. Southern just, you know, they actually dominated that game, and they played a probably the best game of the season at that point. April 10th, Prairie View game was postponed due to COVID. April 17th, the Bayou Classic played in Shreveport. Southern defeated Grambling 49-7 in a game that was never really close. Grambling had, you know, they just, you know, they came in, they were reeling. They had some issues going on, you know, with COVID and health of the team and numbers. And Southern really just came out and punched them in the mouth. And, you know, they did what you have to do when you're the better team. You don't play around with somebody. You put them out their misery, and you move on like that. So that was, you know, all in all, it was a successful season. You know, when you pick to win the division and you don't, obviously, you know, your season is gonna be looked at as not as good as it probably should have been. But you know, they still, you know, Southern took a couple of weeks to kind of get their footing under them. You know, they had five new coaches on the staff. And they came into the season missing some playmakers and wide receiver, and you know, just it coming off of a time period where the team hadn't been playing, they were kind of rusty early in the season, and they were playing two good teams. Honestly, if you want to keep it real, Alabama State and Pine Bluff were two solid teams. Pine Bluff would ultimately go undefeated this year in the regular season and win the division. So they didn't play, you know, anybody who wasn't fired up to play them. One game was on the road in a tough environment. Other one was at home. But they, you know, they managed to rebound from those sluggish games and still put together a very good season. Statistically, Southern had the number one scoring offense in the league. They averaged 37.6 points per game. They had 188 total points, 25 touchdowns, which led the league, four field goals, 24 extra points, and one safety. That's 188 total points, as I said. And they also led the league in scoring defense, allowing 19.6 points per game. They allowed 13 touchdowns, two field goals, 12 extra points, no two-point conversions, one safety, good for 98 total points. Total offense, Southern was second in the league. They had 1,055 yards rushing, which is the most in the conference, 1,097 passing yards on 344 plays, 2,152 yards, good for 6.3 yards per play, which tied for first in the league, 22 total touchdowns on offense, which led the league, an average of 430.4 yards per game. Defensively, they led the league in total defense, 624 rushing yards, 961 passing yards, 328 plays, 1585 yards, 4.8 yards per play, which was the third lowest yard per play for a defense, 13 touchdowns, 317 yards per game allowed. Southern led the league in rushing, 218 carries, 1,055 yards, 4.8 yards per carry, most in the league, 13 touchdowns, also most in the league, 211 yards on the ground per game. They were second in rushing defense, 183 carries, 624 yards. They allowed 3.4 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns on the ground for the opponents, 124.8 yards per game. Passing, they were 77 of 126, 61% completion, which ironically was the third highest completion percentage in the league. So even though they had, you know, a lot of inconsistency at quarterback, they still completed a really good percentage of their passes. They had 9 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, 1,097 yards, good for 219.4 yards per game. They were second in the league in passing defense, 85 of 145, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 58.6% completion for the opponents, 961 yards. They allowed an average of 6.6 yards per pass, and 192.2 yards per game. Southern averaged on their offense 8.7 yards per pass, which was the highest amount in the league. So they were first, if you want to look at that, on yards per pass on offense. So the passing game was not as bad as a lot of people thought it was. They just didn't have the consistency with the passing game, but it still was pretty solid. And that mainly was due to the tight end position, because receivers were hit or miss all year. Tight ends and running backs definitely did a lot of work in the passing game for Southern. Southern was second in the league in passing efficiency offense. 70s, as I said, with an efficiency rating of 148.3. They were fifth in the league in passing efficiency defense with a rating of 128.4. Southern was second in the league in kickoff returns. They had 18 returns for 423 yards, 1 touchdown, average of 23.5 yards per return. They were fourth in the league in punt returns, 10 returns, 118 yards. They did have 1 touchdown, 11.8 yards per return. And to be that high in punt returns, especially at the beginning of the season when they looked like they were allergic to even fielding punts, you know, that was a surprising statistic to me, because at the beginning of the season, the punt return game was horrible. They would not field punts. They let a lot of punts roll and put them in bad field position as an offense. Southern led the league in kickoffs. They had 34 kickoffs for 1,766 yards, 51.9 yards per kick, 197 yards return, 6 touchbacks, a net average of 41.7 yards per kick. They were first in the league in field goals. They were 4 for 4. They were first in the league in extra points, 24 of 24. They were second in the league in punting, 18 punts, 679 yards, an average of 37.7 yards per punt. They allowed 26 return yards, 1.4 yards per return. Defense, Southern allowed 7 sacks on the season, which was second in the league. They had 19 sacks as a defense. That was second in the league. Interceptions, Southern was 6th with 3 interceptions on the season. Conversions, Southern was 3rd in first downs, total first downs, 61 rushing, 40 passing, 3 by penalty, good for 104 first downs, an average of 20.8 first downs per game. They were 3rd in opponents' first downs, 43 rushing, 44 passing, 6 by penalty, that's 93 first downs, 18.6 per game. Southern led the league in third down conversions, 35 of 69, 50.7%. You convert 50% of your third downs, you can't ask for much more than that. That's a lot of successful drives. That's a lot of time of possession being used, and just putting yourself in a lot of opportunities to give your defense rest and to give yourself a chance to score points. Opponent third down conversion, Southern was third, 23 of 70. That's 32.9%. Again, they did a good job of getting off the field on defense and not allowing opponents to put together a lot of long drives, which gives the ball back to your offense a lot of times in good field position. And, when you can run the ball like Southern did, that also helps, helps sustain your defense's momentum and energy. Southern was 4 of 8 on fourth down conversions for 50%. That's third in the league. They were last in the league on fourth down conversions as a defense. They allowed 5 of 8 for 62.5%. So when teams did have to go for it on fourth down, they were actually pretty successful. But the fact that they needed to go for fourth downs 8 times, pretty much showed that Southern did a really good job of getting those stops and forcing teams to make that decision. Southern led the league in the lowest amount of penalties per game. They had 32 penalties on the season, 239 yards, 47.8 yards per game. I swear the bulk of the penalties came against Pine Bluff. Other than that game, Southern didn't really allow a lot of penalties. The opponents, Southern was last in the league in opponent penalties, 24 penalties for 223 yards, 44.6 yards per game. So these games that Southern had were not highly penalized on either team, less than 100 yards of penalty yardage between the two teams on average. So no fairly clean games. Time of possession, Southern was second in the league with a 32 minute and 7 second time of possession average. They were led in rushing by Ladarius Skelton, 52 carries, 317 yards, 6.1 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns. Longest run was 33 yards, 63.4 yards per game. Jarrod Sims, 43 carries, 231 yards, 5.4 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns. His long was 26, 46.2 yards per game. Devon Ben, 56 carries, 177 yards, 3.2 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. His long was 20, 35.4 yards per game. Muhammad, 22 carries, 102 yards, 4.6 yards per carry, no touchdowns. His long was 14, 25.5 yards per game. Craig Nelson, 13 carries, 67 yards, 5.2 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Longer 16, 16.7 yards per game. Kendrick Jones, 5 carries, 49 yards, 9.8 yards per carry, 24 yards with his long, 12.2 yards per game. John Lampley, 9 carries, 46 yards, 5.1 yards per carry, 21 yards with his long, 11.5 yards per game. Corey Williams, 4 carries for 30 yards, 7.5 yards per carry, 11 yards his long, 7.5 yards per game. Travian Benjamin, 6 carries for 24 yards, 4 yards per carry, longer 10, 8 yards per game. And Marquise McClain, 3 carries, 21 yards, 7 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, longer 15, 4.2 yards per game. So obviously Southern loves to run the football. They use everybody, backs, running backs, quarterbacks, receivers. They do a lot of misdirection, a lot of option, jet sweeps. You name it, they run it, triple option sometimes with the receiver as the pitch man. They're gonna do whatever they gotta do to get their athletes in space. And when you have a quarterback like Skelton who can run the ball himself, that's an added dimension that teams have to account for. Passing, Skelton was 37 of 65 on the year, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. 529 yards. He completed 56.9% of his passes. Long was 59. He averaged 105 yards per game. John Lampley, 39 of 60 on the season, 65% completion, 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 525 yards. His long was 37, 131.2 yards per game. And Glennon McDaniel played in the Bayou Classic. He was 1 for 1 for 43 yards. Longer, 43, 21 and a half yards per game. Receiving, Ethan Howard led the team with 14 catches for 24 yards, 17.4 yards per catch. Two touchdowns, longer 38, 60 yards per game. Marquise McClain, 12 catches, 167 yards, 13.9 yards per catch, one touchdown. His long was 45, 33.4 yards per game. Brandon Hinton, 10 catches, 126 yards, 12 yards per catch, one touchdown, 35 yards with his long, 25.2 yards per game. Corey Williams, 7 catches, 121 yards, 17.2 yards per catch, one touchdown, 29 yards per was his long, 30.2 yards per game. Gerard Sims, 10 catches, 113 yards, 11.3 yards per catch, two touchdowns, 22 yards with his long, 22.6 yards per game. Gregory Perkins, 2 catches, 102 yards, 51 yards per catch, one touchdown, longer 59, 34 yards per game. Jorian Valiant, 11 catches, 100 yards, 9 yards per catch, no touchdown, 17 yard long, 25 yards per game. Benjamin, 1 catch for 29 yards, 9.6 yards per game. Travis Tucker, 2 catches, 27 yards, 13 and a half yards per catch, one touchdown, longer 22, 66.7 yards per game. Devon Ben, 2 catches for 25 yards, 12 and a half yards per catch, 17 yards long, 5 yards per game. Makai Hammond, 2 catches, 18 yards, 9 yards per catch, 15 yards long, 4 and a half yards per game. Craig Nelson, 1 catch for 17 yards, 4.2 yards per game. Tyler Kirkwood, 2 catches for 12 yards, 6 yards per catch, 7 yard long, 2.4 yards per game. So as you can see, this offense really spread the ball around. Surprisingly to me, I didn't realize, you know, how you know, this passing game wasn't great, but they did what they had to do, and they had 5 guys with double-digit receptions. I thought, I didn't really look at the numbers throughout the season. The receivers actually had better numbers than I thought. The tight ends and backs got so much attention. A lot of people didn't realize that the receivers actually had a fairly decent season. So that's something that they can build on into the fall. But, you know, passing offense still needs a little bit more play-by-play consistency. And, the receivers and quarterbacks need a little bit better chemistry, and that can come, you know, obviously playing in the spring helps with that. Defensively, Jordan Lewis, that's a name that everybody should be familiar with. If you're not, man, then shame on you. He led the team with 27 tackles. Caleb Carter, 22 tackles. Chase Foster, a big time guy, safety, not the biggest guy, but a hitter. He will knock your block off. 20 tackles for him. Jalen Ivey, another solid guy on the other side of the line opposite of Lewis, 16 tackles. Anderson, 14 tackles. Williams, 14 tackles. Jacoby Jones, 13 tackles. Adrian Rivers, 13 tackles. Smith, 12. Square, 12. Cotton, 11. Tate, 11. Eastling, 10. Farmer, 10. Papillon, 10. Caldwell, 9. Gibbons, 8. Nash, 8. Brown, 5. Johnson, 5. Jones, 5. Tackle for loss, Lewis, 15. Ivy, 4.5. Carter, 3. Rivers, 1.5. Anderson, 1. Jones, 1. Tate, 1. Nash, 1. Johnson, 1. Turner, 1. Young, 1. Foster, a half a tackle for loss, Square, half a tackle for loss, Former, half tackle for loss, Caldwell, half a tackle for loss, Gibbons, half a tackle for loss, Jones, Thomas, and Gaydon, and Jackson each had a half a tackle for loss apiece. So they had 38 tackles for loss on the season. They allowed 23. Sacks, Lewis, 10.5, Ivy, 2.5, Nash, Turner, Young, Alzeen each had one tackle, well, each had one sack apiece. Johnson, Caldwell, excuse me, Caldwell, Jones, and Gaydon each had a half a sack apiece. So, I mean, obviously, we have a guy like Jordan Lewis out there, getting 10 and a half sacks in 5 games. Teams are gonna have to account for, teams are gonna have to make a decision. If they decide to double him, then obviously somebody else can work on the other side. If they choose to go one on one with him, then you're basically giving up a sack just on that decision. If you decide to keep a tight end in, to kind of chip him out back to pick him up, he can get by those guys and cause some problems. When Southern got better in later in the season was when the middle of the line, the defensive tackles really started to play better and started to get a better push and allow linebackers to make plays, because in the beginning of the season, the defensive tackles didn't play very well and the linebackers didn't play well at all. Once those two segments of the defense started to play a little bit better, that helped a lot. Obviously, like I said, when you have a beast of a guy on the defensive line, people have to account for him. And other people can do work if they, if they work hard enough, they can eat. Because if they choose to account for him with double teams or sometimes triple teams, then somebody else has a chance to make plays, and they have to make them when they're there. The secondary is not flashy, but they can make some plays. Like I said, they had three interceptions on the season. Jones, Foster, and Smith each had one interception apiece. Foster had a pick six in the first game of the season. I do like the aggression of the secondary. They will hit you. They're not very passive. They're not the biggest guys, but they will get after you. So that's something that you really have to, be aware of. Cesar Barajas, who has 16 punts on the season, 679 yards, 44.4 yards per punt, 58 yards was his long. He had one touchback, four punts fair caught, 2 points inside the 20, 250 plus yard punts. Barajas was 4 of 4 on field goals, 2 for 2 from 30 to 39 yards, and 2 for 2 from 40 to 49 yards. His long on the season was 49. The opponents were 2 of 5 on the season, 2 of 3 from 30 to 39 yards, 0 for 2 from 40 to 49 yards with a long of 35. Barajas had 30 kickoffs for 1,551 yards, 51.7 yard average, four touchbacks, two kicks out of bounds. Mekhi Hammond, 4 returns on punts for 40 yards, 10 yard average, long of 17. Shaikee Thomas, leading return man on kickoff, 7 returns, 192 yards, 27.4 yards per return, 1 touchdown, long of 98. Kendrick Jones, 8 returns, 166 yards, 20.7 yard per return, long of 49. Or, excuse me, Barajas was the leading scorer. He had 36 total points. Gerard Sims, 36 total points with 6 touchdowns. Skelton, 24 points on 4 touchdowns. Ben, 12 points. Ethan Howard, 12 points. McLean, 12 points. So, like I said, Southern, this team, this season, kind of, depending on how you approach it, to some people it didn't really seem as a success because it didn't make the championship game. But it still was a good season. I thought they got better as the season went on. They had some issues that they had to work through, and I thought they did a good job of working through that. That's what the spring is kind of about, kind of working yourself through your issues and figuring out who you are as a team, even though for the most part people knew who Southern was. That, Southern is going to be who they are. They're going to, run the football. They're going to play good defense, have solid special teams. When Southern has those factors, then this team is definitely tough to beat. The passing game, if it can find some success, it doesn't have to put up crazy numbers, but just enough to, be able to make plays when you decide to throw the football. Once those opportunities are there and they take advantage of them, then this team is definitely tough to beat. And you know, this team is probably not going to be that different coming into the fall as it is now. You know, they're one of those kind of teams that you, when you look at them, you can probably say you already know what to expect from this team. So there's not a lot of surprises coming in. They do have some transfers coming in, and we'll talk about this team a bit more when the when we get into our season preview. I don't want to go too in depth on that, but that's gonna do it for today's episode. Again, like I said, we have a YouTube video dropping this afternoon as well, covering Southern spring season. Swag Talk Time Machine coming on Wednesday, and then Texas Southern recap coming on next Sunday. So got a lot coming down the pipe. So everybody check out Swag Talk, continue to support. I appreciate the support that everybody's giving, and I'll see you guys on Sunday on the podcast. We are out.